is another attempt by North Korean authorities to put additional pressure on Washington.
North Korea launches projectiles. Many nations are unhappy about that. This is Friday, July 26th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, the number of people who do not have enough to eat has risen dramatically, most of them in Asia. We'll review a major story in the U.S., the appearance of Robert Mueller before Congress, and we'll tell you about a gathering aimed at the relationship between the United States and ASEAN. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea fired two missiles off its east coast Thursday. The launch comes as Pyongyang complained about upcoming U.S.-South Korean military exercise. While analysts say the launch probably will not derail nuclear talks, it does underscore the United States' inability to move those talks forward. VOA's William Gallo has the story from Seoul.
The missiles launched Thursday appear to be short range, possibly similar to those North Korea launched in May. That launch didn't derail nuclear talks. And Seoul-based analyst Bong Yong-shik says the latest one probably will not either.
It is another attempt by North Korean authorities to put additional pressure on Washington prior to actual negotiations to set the agenda for working-level negotiations on denuclearization.
But this launch comes at an especially tricky time. Less than a month after U.S. President Donald Trump met North Korean leader Kim Jong-un at the demilitarized zone, a meeting many White House officials described as a possible game changer. Since then, North Korea has failed to show up for working-level talks. Instead, Kim this week posed next to a submarine apparently capable of handling nuclear-tipped missiles. Another escalation, but Yong-shik says mild by North Korean standards.
You do not want to anger President Trump. You want to keep him very close to your side. So I don't think North Koreans are ready to cross the red line.
Trump has shrugged off the North Korean provocations, instead stressing his friendship with Kim. South Korea has said it will go ahead with planned joint military exercises with the United States, despite North Korean objections. Washington and Seoul have already scaled back those exercises. But so far, that is not good enough for North Korea. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, along with the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. A series of attacks rocked Afghanistan Thursday, killing at least 58 people, including 38 members of Afghan security forces, as the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff met with Afghan officials. A U.S. naval warship sailed through the Taiwan Strait Thursday, a day after China issued a stark warning against any foreign interference in its attempt to reunify with self-ruled Taiwan. Hong Kong police say they have banned a plan to stage a protest this weekend in the northern town of Yuen Long, citing a serious risk of violence. It was in that town where people were beaten by men who had been termed thugs. Expanded coverage of these stories and more. This is VOA Asia. An estimated 820 million people did not have enough to eat in 2018, up from 811 million the previous year. That marks the third consecutive year of increase and underscores the immense challenge of achieving the Sustainable Development Goal of zero hunger by the year 2030. That is one of the major findings of the latest annual State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World report, jointly released by several United Nations agencies, including the World Health Organization. I spoke with Dr. Francesco Branca. He is the WHO's Director of Nutrition.
The proportion of people who are undernourished is unfortunately not going down. We have a global figure of about 820 million. And, you know, given the size of the population, the majority of these 820 million people live in Asia. 514 million people live in Asia. So although the proportion is higher in Africa, the actual numbers are much higher in Asia. So that's an overall figure.
Is there a reason for that? Number one, why in Asia? And number two, why are the numbers which had been going down going up again?
Okay, the reason why we have the largest number in Asia is merely the, you know, the large population of Asia. So Africa is certainly more challenged by food insecurity, but in terms of the global challenge, Asia is, you know, as larger, is host to a larger number of people with undernourishment.
What geographic areas of Asia are most affected?
The areas most affected are the Asia in the south. And here I would like to also add another number. What I've just given you are the people who are affected by undernourishment or perception of food insecurity. In other words, these are people who do not have enough food or perceive to not have enough food to eat. But then there's another number, and that's the number of actually people who are malnourished. So we've measured, we have data on the measurement, and we know that particularly in children under five, who are the most vulnerable population, we have children under five who are failing to grow well, and you know what we call the stunted people. And in Asia, we have 81 million of stunted children out of the total number of 149. And also we have in Asia 33 million out of a total of 50 were affected by acute malnutrition. So in other words, they are very thin. And they're also affected by high risk of dying. And the final number, which is also really striking, and I think it's an important message for your audience in Asia, is the low birth weight. So basically, we have data now on the birth weight of children all over the world, and we know that one child in seven is affected by these conditions. We have about 15 million in the world. But in Asia, and particularly in South Asia, India, Bangladesh, we have one child in four who is born with this condition. And, you know, this low birth weight is, in a sense, is a life sentence to malnutrition, because a child who is already born small because of poor in utero growth, that child is going to very likely to be a child with, poor growth, with malnutrition, and an adult with overweight and obesity.
Why is obesity going up?
Right. Well, obesity is not the result of necessarily excess energy. It's actually the result of overall exposure to poor diet. So I mean, if the affordability and accessibility of the diet is poor, then people, you know, either go to undernutrition, but it can also go to overweight and obesity, because the quality of the diet, it's actually poor. They can't have access to the healthy foods, but they would end up consuming cheap products which are high in fat, sugar, and salt. So depending on the, you know, context, the insufficient food may lead to this apparently contrasting conditions. In reality, there are somehow two faces of the same medal. So we have an inherent inability of the food system to provide healthy diets to all the populations. We have also seen that that inequality in middle-income countries or high-income countries, inequalities is contributing to obesity. So you have, you know, poor subgroup of the population in middle-income countries or high-income countries that have also a problem of accessing healthy diet, and therefore they develop obesity. In this report, we're highlighting the importance of low birth weight, particularly in South Asia, indicating that there's something that needs to be done for women and mothers to be if we want to address all forms of malnutrition. It also calls for action in early ages, where improvement of infant and young child feeding, breastfeeding, good complementary feeding, so it's trying to guarantee the future of the humanity. If we want to have, if we want to count on a future generation, then the investment in nutrition must come early and much earlier than it is happening now.
Dr. Francesco Branca, the World Health Organization's Director of Nutrition, speaking with me via Skype from Geneva. Happening now in Asia, the United States Thursday urged North Korea to refrain from further provocations after the communist country test-fired two new short-range ballistic missiles and said it still hoped for a resumption of working-level talks or North Korea's denuclearization. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. We want to update you on one of the biggest news stories here in the United States. Former special counsel Robert Mueller told members of Congress Wednesday that his probe into Russian interference in the last presidential election did not exonerate U.S. President Donald Trump of allegedly trying to thwart that investigation. As Mike O'Sullivan reports, Mueller's comments before two congressional committees drew very different responses from Republicans and Democrats.
The former special counsel warned of Russian attempts to sway the election in favor of Donald Trump through social media and WikiLeaks data breaches.
First, our investigation found that the Russian government interfered in our election in sweeping and systematic fashion. Second, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired with the Russian government in its election interference activities.
Mueller says investigators decided the president could not be charged for possible offenses as long as he's in office, based on longstanding Justice Department policy, but that the findings do not exonerate Trump.
And your investigation actually found, quote, multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations, including the Russian interference and obstruction investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Trump calls the investigation a witch hunt, and he and many supporters are skeptical that the Russians swayed the election.
Given your 22 months of investigation, tens of million dollars spent, and millions of documents reviewed, did you obtain any evidence at all that any American voter changed their vote as a result of Russians' election interference?
I'm not going to speak to that.
You can't speak to that? After 22 months of investigation, there's not any evidence in that document before us that any voter changed their vote because of their interference, and I'm asking you based on all of the documents that you reviewed.
That was outside our purview.
Many Democrats praised the former special counsel.
Your report, for those who have taken the time to study it, is methodical. And it is devastating, for it tells the story of a foreign adversary's sweeping and systematic intervention in a close U.S. presidential election. In
other words, Republicans called Mueller's appearance political theater.
I'm hopeful that the Democrats on our committee will realize that the American people are losing, have lost what little faith they had in this report. And this report now can move on. We can actually start solving things like immigration and other things.
Mueller says that Russian meddling continues ahead of the 2020 U.S. election. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
President Trump celebrated former special counsel Robert Mueller's appearances Wednesday as a very good day for himself and fellow Republicans. He said Mueller's testimony showed the probe of Russia's interference in the 2016 election and allegations Trump obstructed justice by trying to thwart the investigation were a waste of time. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told reporters that the Trump administration may have jeopardized our national security by strengthening Russia's hand, and the Democrats would push on with their own probes of the president and potential impeachment proceedings. Stay with us. Coming up, a new kind of art show. This is VOA Asia.
VOA Special English. A way to learn American English and much more. broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com. For 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
This news from VOA Asia. Vietnam Thursday called for the immediate withdrawal of a Chinese ship in the South China Sea as the standoff over the disputed waters intensified. Beijing last week issued a new call for Hanoi to respect its claims to the resource-rich region, which have historically been contested by Vietnam, as well as Taiwan, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Brunei. VOA Asia continues. Launched in 2009, ASEAN Matters for America and America Matters for ASEAN explores the relationship between the United States and the 10 Association of Southeast Asian Nation member states. The publication includes a new in-depth analysis around every 2 years. VOA Asia's Anna Cook attended the launch of the publication's fourth edition. It took place on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C.
The U.S.-ASEAN Business Council and East-West Center together released a publication that demonstrates the dynamic economic and cultural relationship the U.S. has with Southeast Asian countries. Yet on the opposite hemisphere, China too asserted its relationship with ASEAN as a priority ahead of the Chinese foreign minister's visit to meet ASEAN leaders in Bangkok. Ted Yoho, a Republican congressman and ranking member of the Subcommittee on Asia and the Pacific, attended the launch emphasizing his and America's commitment to maintaining a mutually profitable relationship with Southeast Asian countries.
I'm excited about the new publication, Why ASEAN Matters. I think just that part, ASEAN Matters, is so important. Since 1977, ASEAN and the U.S. has cooperated on issues ranging from maritime security to nuclear nonproliferation. The strategic partnership will become even more important as China continues to its aggression and expansion in the Indo-Pacific, threatening nations of ASEAN.
The president and CEO of U.S.-ASEAN Business Council, Alex Feldman, further explained this year's publication and the numbers that highlight the growing interdependence between the U.S. and Southeast Asian countries.
It explains in numbers why this relationship between the United States and the 10 nations of ASEAN or Southeast Asia is so important.
For those who have not read this publication before, what are some of the highlights or, you know, some of the facts that people should pay attention to?
Well, one of the big ones is that ASEAN is the fourth largest export market for goods made in the United States. The other big thing that everyone should be aware of is that the United States is ASEAN's fourth largest trading partner. Again, China is up there and a few others, but we're very important to ASEAN overall. And many of the things that are made in ASEAN and go to China actually end up in the United States. We also lay out the American investment in ASEAN, and that's substantial, $320 billion. It is more than the United States private sector invests in China, in India, in Japan or Korea combined. So the fact that ASEAN's bigger is a big statement that America has realized the importance of Southeast Asia for some time, and that we're truly making and investing our hard-earned dollars in ASEAN to access the markets of the world.
Behind the numbers in the report, however, is a lagging economy in Southeast Asia impacted by the U.S.-China trade war, which analysts say has also served as an opportunity for ASEAN to strengthen its relationship with China. Many Southeast Asian countries have helped Chinese firms affected by U.S. tariffs to relocate their facilities to their countries. For VOA Asia, this is Anna Cook.
This news break from VOA Asia, Nissan says it's slashing 12,500 jobs, or about 9% of its global workforce, to cut costs and achieve a turnaround amid tumbling profits. The Japanese carmaker also said it will cut global production capacity by 10% and reduce model lineups by at least 10% by the end of fiscal 2022. You're listening to VOA Asia. Virtual reality, or VR, is not just a medium for software engineers who can code. Artists and filmmakers are exploring the stories they can tell with VR. A collection of such experiences are now a part of an art show called Robot Remix. The art show challenges visitors to rethink their relationship with technology, robots, and the world. VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports from the show in Pasadena, California.
This is not your traditional art show. The show Robot Remix challenges visitors to see art through different lenses, opening new worlds to be explored.
Remix culture is taking things that exist and then changing them up and turning them on their head and making a comment about the way that we currently approach art or culture and how we consume content.
The content in this art show is also consumed through virtual reality. In a series of VR experiences, some passive and some interactive, visitors will interact with stories in different ways. This experience, called Micro Giants, shrinks the visitor down to the size of an insect. This one, called Gloomy Eyes, will wrap the story around the viewer. This experience, called Invasion, gives the viewer a first-person perspective. From different creative and technical backgrounds, some VR experiences are created by a few people. Others are developed by a studio with teams of people who create and code. This interactive VR experience called Unceded Territories, about colonization and climate change, is created by filmmaker Paisley Smith and artist Lawrence Polyx Wupton.
Space, sound, touch, feeling, like you're creating another world, so every single detail of reality, it has to be reflected in that virtual space.
This interactive game called Virtual Reality examines the user's relationship with robots.
What does it mean to be a robot? What does it mean to work for robots?
By mixing up perspectives and realities, this art show through emerging technologies allows visitors to see and experience art in a new way. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Pasadena, California.
A Beijing-based rocket developer sent two satellites into orbit Thursday, becoming China's first private company to successfully complete an orbital launch, according to state media. Xinhua State News Agency reported the launch took place from a satellite center in northwest China on Thursday afternoon. Xinhua said the SQX-1 Y-1, a four-stage small commercial carrier rocket, was developed by the firm iSpace. iSpace said in a statement about the launch that it marked a new chapter for China's private commercial space industry. It said iSpace was formed in the era of a nation trying to become a space power. Again, that according to the statement. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte offered a bounty to anyone who could deliver to him the head of the communist rebel leader behind the killings of four police intelligence officers last week in an insurgency-hit central province. Duterte said in a speech late Thursday that he raised a reward of 3 million pesos and would considerably increase the amount out of anger for what he described as the Islamic State group-style killings of the officers on July 18th.
This is Science in a Minute.
Among the top risk factors for heart disease is obesity. The most common method to determine obesity is by a person's body mass index or BMI score. A new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's JAMA Network Open suggests medical professionals not only look at a person's BMI score, but also body shape. Study authors found evidence that people with a normal BMI can still be at risk for cardiovascular disease, early death, and other obesity-related health issues if they also have an excess accumulation of fat around their midsection, something also referred to as central obesity. In other words, maintaining normal weight but having a large waist size could still spell health trouble. The study also suggests that some people, especially athletes, with a high BMI score could still be in excellent health because the bulk of their weight is muscle. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember, you can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Find us at voanews.com, and we'd love to hear from you at VOA Asia Facebook and our email, voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to our Director Tracy Carter, our engineer Zainab Abdul-Rahman. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Enjoy your day and your weekend.